innercitygeeks.net.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks Podcast. And this is episode 299. And joining me today is Brian.
Hey, what's up?
Chilling, dude. We're almost at 300.
That's insane.
Right. We're almost there. It's been a hell of a week. We recorded a bonus round this week for Obi-Wan just before the finale of Obi-Wan's.
Now, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but
okay.
Did your predictions come true?
Somewhat. Okay. Yeah. Somewhat of our predictions came through.
I mean, obviously we'll get more into it when we talk about
Obi-Wan. Right. Yeah. But definitely go check out our season wrap up of Obi-Wan before the final episode. So check that out. It's the episode before this one, obviously. But how you been, dude? It's been a good week. How you been?
It's been a good week. You know, still living in the city.
Nice.
Still living, which is great.
That's a great thing.
I am in the process of, you know, still building everything.
Okay. it's easy, okay.
Okay.
It
took me 2 days to build an IKEA dresser.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, two full days, and I was sore as shit for like a day after.
Nice.
And it's funny. It's like the dresser was supposed to go in the closet. Because ideally it worked, and then the struggle, and then it's like, well, it fits, but then you can't open the drawers. And it's like, damn it. And it's like, oh, well. Cause like
it's just not wide enough, the closet.
It's more or less, it's the same depth as the closet we had at the house in Staten, but like, it just, those doors open wide versus open, you know. Not one.
Gotcha.
But no, it looks good. You know, it's IKEA, so take it for what it is.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, we got our last weekend. I think I mentioned we put our rugs down. So then, built a couple of more things
to avoid the noise.
Yep.
You can't bring in the noise and bring in the funk there. No.
No, not at the same time. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's been a good week for shows. It's been a good week for a bunch of random things.
Absolutely.
So, things I've been watching this week. So, the current season of Umbrella Academy drops on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know off air you said that you're like almost done with it and you started what, today?
I started it yesterday. Yesterday I made it up to episode 6. And then I passed out because I was fucking tired because it's been a long ass fucking week. Mm-hmm. And then today, just before we started recording, I was up to the last 15 minutes of the show. The last 15 minutes of the last episode.
So yeah,
it's good.
I'm gonna start episode 8 after I watch the current episode of The Boys. Now,
okay.
I would have watched, normally I would watch The Boys, like when my kids are napping or something,
but you were Bob the Builder today.
I was Bob the Builder today, but also like, The Boys episode Hero Gasm is not something suitable for kids.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So just in case they
watch, just the name itself, just the name itself. Yeah.
So tonight after we record this, I'm going to sit on my couch and have some food and just fucking watch that and then
hell yeah.
Start Umbrella Academy.
Yes. We'll continue in Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, continue Umbrella Academy. Aside from all that, I currently watched Spiderhead.
Okay, yeah, you were telling me about that. What's that about? For those that don't know.
So Spiderhead is starring Chris Hemsworth and okay. Miles Teller. And the plot is that Miles Teller is in prison, but it's not your like traditional prison. It's like they kind of like give you different medicines on like this thing into your like that's like in your spine.
Isn't it like they just do testings on you and shit?
Yeah,
and like clinical testings type thing.
Yeah, like they'll turn up like testosterone, or they'll lower it, or it's basically like controlling you like a machine.
Okay.
But it's really good. Chris Hemsworth is really fantastic in it.
He's great.
And Miles Teller's a great actor too.
Yeah, they're both good. Yeah. What I read somewhere earlier that Miles Teller was pretty much saying that, you know, he should really get out of that. Chris Hemsworth should get out of the MCU because he's that good.
Yeah.
To do other things outside of it.
Considering he's he really loves playing Thor. I don't think that's gonna happen anytime
soon. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Like he'll age out of the character and then he'll play Odin.
essentially that's not aging out of the character.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. He'll switch mods.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was called Thor today.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. I was like with the hair and the beard, my Nordic side is really starting to show.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So check out Spiderhead. It's a really good action thriller on Netflix.
Definitely check it out.
One thing I forgot to mention last week, because we had a lot of shit, was that I totally spazzed and didn't say that I watched the complete volume 4 of Stranger Things.
Oh, okay. Cool. Nice.
And the new season is really, really, really fucking good. It's a return to its roots, so it's like more of that 80s horror than the previous seasons.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. The season finale movie, well, it's like movie length, is gonna be July 1st, and that's gonna wrap up season 4, and then season 5 is its last season.
That's when they call it quits.
Yeah, but they also had that plan in mind. They were like 5 seasons and done.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, I watched Umbrella Academy, which Umbrella Academy better get another season, because it beat Stranger Things out of its number one spot.
See, but the thing I was going to tell you earlier, because I know you mentioned this to me earlier, is that that whole rating system or whatever that's there, it's just off the fact that like people watch everything all the time, and being that it's a newer show, people are gonna gravitate to the newer show.
Yeah.
So regardless, it's gonna knock it out of the tops.
See, and you know,
at least that's how I see it.
No. You're sort of right though, because like think about it. Think about Archive 81. It was number one for weeks, and then got canceled.
Yeah.
Bring back Archive 81.
Yes, please.
So, one thing I forgot to mention last week, well, I said it to you in a text, but I didn't say it like on air, was that the Lincoln Lawyer is getting a season 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which that I'm excited for, because the Lincoln Lawyer, for those of you that don't know, it's based on a book, and they had a movie starring McConaughey a while mm-hmm. back.
All right.
But the movie is a little bit different than the show. The show, he basically inherits a law firm, and he has to solve the case of who killed the lawyer that gave him the law firm. And it's him coming back from it, and it's him coming back from addiction. And it's a really powerful series.
Okay.
You know, it's like there's the each episode has a case, but then there's the main case.
Okay, I get it.
And Neve Campbell plays his, one of his ex-wives.
Ooh, oh, one of his ex-wives? One of his
ex-wives, yeah, he has two ex-wives.
Jesus, okay.
So,
I like this already.
And it's really good. Other thing I just started watching last night, I started watching The Bear with Jeremy Allen White, Liv from Shameless.
Okay.
And it's the story, so it's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in Chicago, and basically the plot is Jeremy White's character plays a chef who worked in Michelin 5-star restaurants, and then he's now back in Chicago trying to salvage his deceased brother's sandwich place, like an Italian beef, like traditional mm-hmm. Chicago deli,
right?
You find out, like, his brother killed himself, and like he's trying to. And his cousin is played by the actor who played Micro in season one of Punisher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he plays like a real piece of shit, but like you love the character,
of course.
And like
he's a lovable shithead.
We watch, so the whole season's on Hulu, and we watch like the first three episodes. And you're like, wow, like this is really, really good.
Okay.
What else have I watched? Did I tell you I watched like last week or whatever? I watched Memory with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, you mentioned it to me. That's right. Yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah.
And then you had, I could tell you, I said it on air, it was Last Seen Alive. That was really good.
Okay.
Blanking on.
Didn't you say you also watched that, Everything and Anything or some shit like that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. How could I forget? So the two main movies I watched this week, two nights in a row, I watched The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Okay.
With Nicolas Cage poking fun of himself.
Yeah.
And Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal still, like, he was fucking great.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the whole thing, like, who's Javi? He's like, I'm Javi. And yeah. It's like, they become, like, super best friends.
Yeah.
It
looks really fucking cool. Real cheesy, but I like it.
It was cheesy, but it had a lot of plot to it, and it was, like, it was actually really, really enjoyable, 100%.
Okay.
But then, yes, I watched the best multiverse movie ever, and it's not Doctor Strange. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice.
And
it's a multiverse type movie? I did not know that.
It's a multiverse type movie where basically, there's a whole lot going on, but basically Michelle Yeoh plays this woman who basically owns a laundromat, lives upstairs with her husband, who's played by Data from The Goonies.
Ha! That's awesome. Okay.
It's his first movie in
ages.
Ages, yeah. Like, because you figure he stopped acting, he raised a family, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
His character.
Yeah, because he essentially stopped, pretty much stopped acting after the fucking Goonies, I think. I haven't seen him do anything since then.
Yeah, I mean, search him on IMDb, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
He basically played a grown up version of Data. It was great. Like,
dressed the same. That's awesome. That's fucking cool.
Dressed the same. He had like the he had the fanny pack and like little things that come out of the fanny pack. I'm like, okay.
Of course.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
He got typecasted as himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
So Jamie Lee Curtis was in it.
Nice.
And one of the best actors in Hollywood that's still around and fucking still has all his wits is James Hong. Like,
yeah, Shane Tong is awesome. Around. Yep.
Like, what I liked about him is that he was on Jimmy Kimmel a couple, like maybe about a month or so ago, plugging the movie, and like, he's so sharp. Like he's what, like he's like 94, I think.
Yeah.
But he's so sharp that like when Jimmy had like screen caps of all the different, he'd like remember a line and just immediately just go for it.
Yeah.
And like including hit one of the images was I forgot he was on, he was the guy in Seinfeld, like in the '90s.
Yeah.
Seinfeld Party 4? Yeah. When they when they couldn't get the seat at the restaurant.
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, but like the man's been around.
He's been around for a really long time.
Yeah, so he basically plays her dad, Michelle Yao's dad, and like he hates the fact that like she left, you know, with Data and like to start a family and whatever. Because he was like,
of course,
disappointed because it was like China and like the, you know, like in the time of like even more so then when it was like, oh, it's not a boy. So there's all that, and like Jamie Lee Curtis plays like the IRS worker, and like they, whenever they had, you know, she's getting, they're getting audited, and so she's their like auditor.
And oh, it's just, okay.
But like the craziness in that movie is just bonkers to shit. Like it's better for you to watch it than to me to badly explain said movie.
Okay. I will definitely watch it.
It's long. It's like 2 hours and 20.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's about as long as Multiverse of Madness.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I love Multiverse of Madness, so like, I'll enjoy this one too.
I'm excited that that's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I can't wait to watch it. I mean,
I can't wait to watch it again. Yeah.
Yeah, like I saw it in theaters, but that was the only time I saw it.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah, aside from all that, I think that's nothing else. I mean, Kenobi and Miss Marvel, but that's what we're going to talk about anyway in a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah as for me, last week I had the children with me, and we went up to the Leon Springs with my chapter of the Bearded Villains. So I'm flying all the way up to the Leon Springs, which is about 2.5 hours from here. Up further north of Orlando, which is on the east coast, and it was fun. It was really fun. It was an interesting drive because I hate driving at nighttime, so I had to leave here at like 4:30 in the morning to get there like around 7, and wound up getting there like around 7:30 or so, and we had to of course get in line because the springs people get there early. And there's a line. And there was a line of like about 15 cars by the time we got there. And I was like, okay, yeah. So I will stand in. I will put my car in park and I'll sit here and wait until they open at 8 o'clock. And some of the guys in my chapel were already there by the time we got there. I think I was the last one to get there, but I still had a line or whatever. I still got a line. And we rented a whole pavilion or whatever. It was usually like $6 to get in per car, which is not bad because a lot of places they'll charge you per person. Mm-hmm. It was just $6 per car. But the good thing is that by the time when we got up to the place to pay, they're pretty much like, oh yeah, go right ahead, go right in. I don't know if they were doing like a Father's Day type special or if it was just somebody paid it forward and, we're like, you don't have to pay anything. I was like, oh, okay, even better. I went there, like it was the first time I ever went to a Springs of anything. And it was really fucking nice. It was a nice, real, real cool place to be away from everything. And for the first time, like, because I usually, like, if I go to the beach and stuff like that, I'll just go in and I'll, like, dunk my feet in a little bit and I'll just walk away. Because first of all, like, I don't know how to fucking swim. Like, I never know how to swim. I've always lived on the fifth floor and, like, my parents were always like, fuck going to a fucking public pool because they're gross. And I didn't know anybody that had a pool back then. So so we basically, I stood away from it. And the only pool that I had was like a little kiddie pool that I would put in the hallway of the building. So we just we went, and it was really cool. It was really nice. It went from like the place that, you know, everybody can go into, it went from 3 feet to 30 feet. And as far as deep wise, it was fucking insane. It was really good, really fun. You step into the water and it's fucking cold as shit. Granted, it's not really cold, but it was like 94 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So stepping into the water, and it was like about a good 73 degrees, the water.
So it was that body shock.
Yeah, it was that body shock. The first step, and you're like, holy shit, it's fucking cold. But then once you get in, once you start feeling you feel the weather, you're just like, yeah, this shit feels really fucking good.
That's how that felt with Sesame Place.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in the splash pool, but we had our own like cabana, and like the splash pool, it's like you step in, you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like you slowly start inching, you know, and they had like a little like mini waterfall, because it's like for kids, it's like it's a hose with like the leaky tape around it.
Of course.
You know, and like just going under that with the girls, I'm like, oh crap, like this is cold. But then like mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Well, after a while you're just like, oh yeah, I'm used to this already. Mm-hmm. I could do this all day. Yeah, but it was really, really fun. We went there, we chilled, we barbecued, because they have grills and everything out for everybody to use and stuff like that. It was really, really cool. And then of course the drive back was not bad. It wasn't a bad drive, because of course there wasn't really too much traffic. By the time we left, it was like around 3 o'clock. I got back like around 5, 6. And it was cool. It wasn't bad. Like, it was really nice. It was a lot better than I expected it to be. It was super fun. Really chill, really chill. And it was also good to, you know, spend time with the kids, you know, down in far away from everything that we're usually around. Especially for like Father's Day weekend. It was really cool. It was really cool to be out there. So I enjoyed it. I had a good time. As far as stuff that I watched. I watched, of course, we're going to talk about Obi-Wan and Miss Marvel. But also, like I mentioned earlier, like I watched the hell out of Umbrella Academy. It's fucking good.
This season's so fucking good.
It's fucking insanely good.
And I mean, not to go into spoiler territory, because the show literally just dropped on Friday.
Literally, just dropped.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, not Friday.
Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah, it literally came out yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all know that Ellen Page transition into become Elliot, and that's so fucking awesome.
Yep.
But the way they had Vanya transition into Victor, I was like,
they did a really good job with it.
Great job, and like, yeah. And you can tell, like, not just the character, but like you could tell the actor themselves, like they're happier in their skin, therefore they're happier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and like, because. In season two, which was like what, 2020?
Yep, like two years ago.
Yeah, about 2 years ago. Like, this is when all this stuff was going on, and like, and you could see that the character Vanya was like not happy, even though, granted, yeah, she's supposed to be a miserable person.
Yeah, she's supposed to be emo as fuck on the show.
Yeah, you know, but like, I like that they were able to explore her sexuality like that, with falling in love with the girl, you know, in where the fuck were they? In Texas?
Yep.
Yeah. And
then in Texas in the 60s, in the late 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you fast forward to now, and it's like they show why she is now he, and how they did the whole thing. And, you know, we're now... She's more comfortable as what she belongs, and that's as Victor.
Yep.
Just like, you know, we all know that Ellen Page was not happy as Ellen, and you know, and chose to be Victor. Not Victor. Chose to be Elliot. Because like that's
Elliot.
What she believed he was, and you know, it's just great.
Yeah, it's really good. They did a really good job with that.
Like, So shout out to the writers for doing that really smoothly. But no, Umbrella Academy season 3.
Yeah, it's fucking good. It's really fucking good.
Their strongest season so far, in my opinion.
Yep.
And
it's different because, like we've mentioned before, like we like that they continue with the story, but the fact that they're bringing different elements into the show and doing different things to make it more watchable is really fucking fun. I like that. I like that they do that. And how they switch it up just a little bit. And how they change the story just a little bit. So that way you can watch it and just be like, oh, this is really good. No, but it's a really good season. It's like I was saying, I like how they adjust with the times and they make things just that much more appealing to a larger crowd because, of course, you want to be as inclusive as possible, and they did a really good job with it so far, and I like it. I want to see where the rest of the show is going to go. I want to see how far they'll take it and how much into the comic lore it'll go into.
Like the showrunner basically said, the showrunner basically said that he. He has an idea for how it's going to end, and he wants it to end before the graphic novel. So that'd be interesting to see, because I know you don't want to follow suit of The Walking Dead, which took forever and ever, and it's still going and still going, and even though it's the final season, it's like never ending. But no, each character on The Walking Dead, I'm sorry, not The Walking Dead, each character on Umbrella Academy this season has definitely grown. We already spoke about Vanya turning into Victor, but the actor playing Klaus, like, he made his, like, Klaus has always been one of those, like, fucking strange characters, and, I mean, I loved him in season 2, he was the freaking, the cult leader. But then, like...
Yeah, I really did enjoy that cult leader thing. That was really fucking cool.
But then, like... His evolution has just been great. Like, the whole, like, exploring the fact that he's fucking immortal, basically. Like, he has some level of immortality. Because, like... When he gets, like, I mean, fuck it, we're just watch the damn show, but, like, he gets killed in one episode, and you're like, oh, shit, that's the end of Klaus. And then you see this whole, like, thing going on, and then he basically, like, has a healing factor. All the characters really have some great.
I really like how they delve into more of this dude one's little story and how they're pretty much like, you know, like he's pretty much been like, even though he is number one, he's the first one. Mm-hmm. How they go into his story and now they're like, yo, like he was the first one, but they just. Did so much shit with him that they just didn't know what to do with him either. That's why they wound up sending him into space and having him do his thing out there instead of, you know, being around the family, especially after, you know, their brother died and shit.
Mm-hmm. And truthfully, one of the great storylines going on too is Allison, how she's all fucked up from the remnants of season 2. Like, her daughter gets killed by the kid when he first gets the powers. And then, like, the whole aspect of her husband in the 60s, but it's not real. And, like, she's grieving nothing at the same time that she's grieving everything. And, like, it's just, like, I mean, that actress is really good. I mean, she's part of the cast of Hamilton, the original cast.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, she's great.
And she was in some movie recently with Liam Neeson too, which was pretty good. Anyway, so what happened is that Yeah, all the characters have really evolved, and aside from all that, one of my favorite moments of this season, truthfully, is the retelling of the opening, where instead of it being, you know, these are the kids, you know, and it's like now it's like this is the Sparrow Academy.
Yeah, I love that because of course it kind of retcons the fact that this is what happened in this timeline, because essentially this is a totally different timeline that's going on
right now. And I keep forgetting that right now they're in 1989.
I forgot about that too.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is so modern. I'm like, oh, they're actually in 1989. And then, you know, there was that whole thing with what's her name, the crazy chick that Diego met in the asylum.
Yeah, that's great. Who was it, Lila? Lila.
Yeah, but I love how her character evolved too, and now she's with them instead of trying to kill them.
Because essentially at this point she's pretty much learned a bunch of things, because she's part of the mm-hmm. community of the time people or whatever.
Yeah, and what I liked with her, with the whole thing is her going back to, the destruction of the Berlin Wall.
That was really cool. I like how they did that. It was really cool. It was very different because, of course, you don't expect to see something like that.
No. And then, as I was telling you, the kid that plays Stan is from Euphoria. He played Ashtray.
I don't think I've only seen a few episodes of Euphoria. I don't even remember seeing him then.
You have to be in a mood to watch Euphoria because it's so fucking dark and depressing, and you're like, holy shit, these are the kids of America today in rough neighborhoods and whatnot. And how each one goes through a different story arc with, you know, the way they were raised. But as for this, I really like this kid could act because he's such a different character on that show. On Euphoria, he's covered in tattoos and he's a real drug dealer, gun runner, you know, at 12, 13 years old. But in this, he's I just want to get a slushy.
Yeah, he plays like a real kid.
Yeah.
But he's a mischievous real kid because, of course, you know, his dad is a mischievous motherfucker. So is his mom.
Mm-hmm. But the whole plot with Diego, it's been good.
I fucking love Luther's story with Sloane. Yeah, because first off, I'll say it what's her face? She's fucking hot. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Rodriguez. The fuck is her first name?
Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis Rodriguez. Oh, she's fucking hot. But she's fucking good too. And I really like her character. Her character is really damn good. She's one of those characters who's where is she going to go with this? Because, of course, she does seem very bubbly, very different to what we've seen as far as the Umbrella Academy. She's the complete opposite of everybody there. Everybody's there is a little twisted, but she is completely different than what we've seen before in that she's very open to people. She's very, very talkative with people, and especially people that are completely different than what she knows and what she's used to, because she's used to being around the sparrows that are pretty much very gung ho. Let's do this way or whatever. She's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. Which kind of falls into what Luther's about, because Luther's oh, well. But I like it. I like their little story. And it's interesting. You're gonna be interested to see what's gonna happen after season episode 8.
And
it gets crazy.
And it's crazy because each episode of that show gets crazier and crazier. So yeah.
Wait till you get to episode 10. You're just like, eee, Jesus Christ, it gets crazy. It's fucking good.
you know, even though it's a different timeline, I enjoyed seeing the return of Pogo.
Yeah. That was cool.
And then, like, yeah, it's like, it's crazy. It's like how that show's just, the show's just fucking great. And I love, they're like, yo, like, why is Ben a dick?
Yeah. But you got, you kind of get it because he's kind of forced to be number one.
Yeah.
When he was number two in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, it was cool to see him as, you know, see him in his real life, I guess, his real character.
Oh, absolutely. Now with all the, I mean, one of the craziest characters in the Sparrows was the one that like, that was all like, disfigured where like you could punch
him the blob face. Looking dude. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you punch him in the face.
And,
like,
who was it? Alberto?
Yeah. Right. He's like, punch me. And like you punch him and then like you get the impact of that you hit on the spot that you like, oh man, that's insane.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen when you punch him in like his stomach. If you punch him in the stomach, it doesn't happen anything.
Right.
Because there's a scene in the episode where Diego's like punching him in the stomach and he doesn't get any type of damage as far as Diego getting hurt.
Right.
But I mean, when the son throws a knife at him or whatever, he winds up getting the heat, which is kind of weird. That didn't make any sense to me.
You know what was great about that too is like, you know, you figure they're all in decent shape for having to do the job that they do.
Absolutely.
But Alberto was like out of shape.
Yeah. Like, he was like, I don't need to do anything.
He had the stomach, you know, like he was just like the sit on the couch, you know, eating junk food thing. Like,
he was the sloppy one of the group.
Yeah.
He's essentially, if you really think about it, he's kind of like the blob.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But it was good though. I liked his character. And the story, it progresses to get even crazier and crazier as it goes. And I enjoyed it. It was fucking great. And I can't wait to watch the last few minutes. Yeah.
You're like, I can't wait to stop recording to watch this.
pretty much.
Good thing we have a short show.
Yeah. Another thing that I've been doing this week, I've actually been not necessarily reading, but listening to, because I bought the audiobook for Mox, the John Moxley book. And I must say, it is a great fucking listen, or a great read, however you want to say it. I don't know how do you say such a thing? Like, is it a great read? Because I'm not necessarily reading it. I'm listening to the book. So, I don't know. It's a good book. Go fucking pick that shit up. Pretty much goes from, like, his beginnings in wrestling, a little bit of his, you know, his background and a lot of things. That's just like, wow. It really, like, at one point, he's going over how he's first learning how to start, how to wrestle and everything. And it's like, I kind of want to do it too. But then I'm also like, yeah, I'm an old fuck. I can't do that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it's a really good book. Definitely check it out. Check out Mox by John Moxley.
Wasn't he like a... Did he do like backyard shit too years ago?
Yeah. He started out doing backyard shit and then he wound up going to what was it, HWA or something like that. And then he wound up going to developmentals and stuff.
Because, you know, I know like if it's hard to really like look at it, but like they've lightened up over time, but like his forehead has fucking scars from all the backyard
shit. Yeah. But not just the backyard shit, but his like his hardcore stuff, because he does a lot of hardcore shit. Because he, like myself, he loves the violence. Mm-hmm. And he goes about it in the book very much. He's like, yeah, like, he saw one thing and he was like, I kind of want to go through that. Because he, one thing that he does say is he loves the death matches. That's one thing that always grabs his attention. He was like, I want to be the best at that. Mm-hmm. Which is why he does all the hardcore shit that he does.
Yeah.
And... more power to him. He's fucking good at it. It basically goes over how he he went into the G1 right after pretty much right after he pretty much left the WWE. And how he was like he was wondering how he would be portrayed as like, oh, that one guy from the WWE that didn't make it over there is gonna come and try to do this over here, and he did good in it.
And you know what's great about him too is like he proved that he could reinvent himself into being himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because like AEW has only been around for 3 years.
Yep.
And he's been around since pretty much the beginning.
Yeah.
But you forget the Dean Ambrose character unless like they talk about the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because his Dean Ambrose solo career was great, but he was so held back by that watered down company.
Yep.
Like now, it's like the theme song hits, fucking Wild Thing starts playing, yep. And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. It's crazy because in the book, he pretty much goes over, at one point in the book, he's like, I hated being in WWE.
Yeah.
He hated not being himself.
Yeah.
He hated having to memorize scripts that made no sense. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, I get it.
And you could see, I mean, you were able to see how much happier he was once he left. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was part of that panel in 2019. The one where MJF was dressed up as Painkiller. And so Mox was sitting there along with Brandy, Cody, Jericho, Nyla, Jungle Boy, and I forget who else, but like, you know, just like you could just see him being himself at that panel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, everything going on, the struggle, you know, the happiness of his life and, you know, becoming a dad, and then like, the struggles in his life with the drinking, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now you see him right now. He's at the level of where he needs to be. And like that promo that he cut on Dynamite was just like, you know.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And the funny thing is, like, in the book, he also says that, like, promo days, the days that he had to do promos, which are usually was usually Wednesdays on in FCW, were like his worst days. He hated promo days. But then you're like, wow, those promo days were days that he strived pretty much.
Yeah, he's great on the mic, and I'm excited about this book.
Yeah, it's fucking good. Definitely check it out. Whoever's out there, go check it out too. Buy the book, the regular physical book or the ebook, or even listen to the audio, because I'm listening to the audiobook. He's the one that narrates it, the entire thing, and it feels good to actually hear somebody that actually wrote the book and then the story's all about actually, you know, hear what he's actually saying.
And that's why I enjoyed the Jericho books. Like, I only read the first two.
Mm-hmm.
But Jericho wrote the books, and you know, and you heard the words through how he would say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I still gotta read his other ones. But I'm excited about the Mox book, because like Mox is one of the he's honestly one of my favorites in the industry.
Absolutely. He's one of my favorites right now, yeah.
Yeah, he's in my
he's currently like at the top for me.
Yeah.
He's really fucking good. He's a great promo, great wrestler. Awesome dude. Also check out the podcast that he did with his wife Renee Paquette, the sessions. He did an episode with her this week. Another really good episode, so check that out too. Where he pretty much, this is after the book, obviously, but he goes over the whole thing of him going into rehab and everything, because he chose to do that himself. He was like, the day right before Halloween, he's like, I'm going to rehab. So we did that. That was very ballsy to pretty much go on TV and be like, I'm going to do this. Because you don't expect people to be like, okay, yeah, you kind of like with the whole Jeff Hardy thing, like he kind of like pigeonholed himself into doing one thing,
yeah,
and then he fucks it up, and then he's like, yeah, I have to force you have to be forced to do things, mm-hmm. But Mox did it because he knew he had to be better for his kids.
Yeah.
And like I have a huge respect for him for doing that. That's pretty awesome.
110%.
Yeah. So it's definitely like I said, it's the book is a really good read. Also check out, like I said, the sessions with Renee Paquette, his wife. Like I said, it's another really good episode to listen. And I think that's pretty much it that I've pretty much done this week. So I guess it's time to get into some geek shit. Right, that we usually talk about geek shit before we even get into the real geek shit for the week. But it's cool because that's what we do. And starting out with something that's super fucking interesting. Of course, I enjoyed the Green Hornet back in the day. Especially, of course, it was in reruns back then when I was younger. Yeah. But of course, I liked it mostly because of Bruce Lee being Kato. We got news this week that they're pretty much canceling out the Jeff Rogan one, the Seth Rogan one.
I mean, I get it, but it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible, no. But they're going with a new reimagining of it, I guess. Okay. And it's gonna be directed by the guy that did the Invisible Man, which was fucking good. Did you see Invisible Man?
No, it's on my list.
That shit is really good. But I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this. Especially with the person that did Invisible Man, because of course, you know, it's a different take. But
didn't Leigh Whannell do fucking Saw back in the day?
I believe so.
I believe he was the original director.
I believe so. I'm not exactly sure.
Sorry,
he did upgrade for.
He was in Saw. He was Adam.
Oh yeah.
But I think he also did something else with it too.
Yeah, I know. From what I'm reading over here, he said he did the action thriller Blumhouse. Upgrade for Blumhouse.
No, Leigh Whannell was one of the writers.
Okay.
For Saw, along with James Wan.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented fucking writer. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to see his take on this.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be different. It's gonna be fun.
It's not gonna be like the goofball stoner comedy that the Seth
Rogen right. was. Right, exactly. It'd be just a little different, like the fact that they're trying to switch and make it just that much more, you know, more realistic and more. Spot on with things.
Yeah.
So I kind of like what they got to do with it. I'm excited for it. Yeah. Then another thing that came out. Of course, we've seen Archie and Archie everywhere with Riverdale and them spinning off and doing all that other stuff. But within the Archie comics, we know that there's so many different characters. And we got news that Jake Chang, who was another character within the Archie comics, that CW's going to be working on a show based on Jake Chang. It's going to be a kind of like a thriller type spy series, which should be very interesting. Because of course, you know, we saw Sabrina was within the Archie comics as well. And that had a decent run on Netflix. But now, of course, we're going to be getting this other show. That should be pretty cool. Which I'm not against it. I kind of want to see it. It's going to be a drama. Jake Chang. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. Because, of course, you know, there's, like I said previously, like there's a lot of characters within... within Archie comics, that you can dive into.
We'll just call it the Archieverse.
Yeah, we can call it the Archieverse. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Yeah, but it's gonna from what they're saying, it's gonna be like a noir drama, like a noir thriller teen drama.
Okay.
Which I'm kind of down for. I like it. I like where this is going. Granted, we haven't had any type of anything, but it's gonna be pretty cool. It's the mystery following a 16-year-old private investigator. And he navigates a racial and socioeconomic diverse world, ever gentrifying home of Chinatown. Go figure, right? Yeah. And of course, you know, the super richy rich is in his high school, so it's gonna be pretty interesting to see what's gonna happen in this. So yeah, I'm kind of excited to see how they bring together this whole new little world, and how they make this work. So it'll be interesting, because of course you know you don't see a lot of these characters, these side characters within their world or whatever. We've seen, of course, they Jughead. They didn't do a spinoff with Jughead, even though they could, because they have a whole Jughead comic book as well. But it'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with this. And then another cool thing that came out this week. I think it actually came out last week, but we didn't talk about it last week. But it has been confirmed for those that really enjoy the Game of Thrones. Kit Harington. Not just Kit Harington, but Jon Snow is getting a spinoff series. That's gonna be pretty fucking cool, because I've enjoyed Game of Thrones for a good time, for a good chunk, because I still haven't seen the last season of it. But this looked pretty fucking cool, especially if Kit Harington at this moment has pretty much said he will be reprising his role as Jon Snow. So I kind of want to see where this is gonna go. It's gonna be pretty cool.
That means that they'll have both a sequel and a prequel series.
Yes. Yes. Two prequel series. Two prequel series and one sequel series.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty cool. Because, of course, you know, you got to think about it. Like, these Game of Thrones things have brought in a lot of money to HBO and to Warner Brothers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so... And of course, it's had a lot of you know, a lore behind it. And people at this point were like, "Yo, like, if he didn't really die here, what really happened to him after all this shit? How is this gonna come about? What's gonna go on within this world, and how is it gonna shape everything in the future?" So it's gonna be interesting. I want to see where this is gonna go. Because especially now that also he's within the Marvel Universe and shit too. How is that going to work too? Because essentially he is going to be like, you know, who was it? Not Moon Knight. What's the other one? I don't remember. Whatever. He's supposed to be in the Marvel Universe. But yeah, speaking of the Marvel Universe, Kevin Feige pretty much came out this week saying that the whole next saga for Phase 4 is pretty much starting this summer. Everything is pretty much going to be, you know, laid out piece by piece, or it's been getting laid out piece by piece to pretty much give us a whole story as to where this is going to be going, which should be really fucking cool. I really want to see where this is going, because of course, you know, I am invested in this. I've seen every single fucking thing that we've had from the Marvel Universe. And I know you've seen it, pretty much all of this shit, too.
I've seen everything but Captain Marvel and the Eternals.
Right. And that's completely fair. Yeah. Especially, it's fair that you haven't seen Eternals, so it's okay. It's understandable.
And technically the Inhumans, because they don't even cancel that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's just a show that came and went. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen with this and how they and where this is gonna go. Of course, we've had, you know, we've had ideas, and we've seen that they're gonna be doing, you know, Secret Wars and stuff like that, and little things here and there, and you know, little teases of shit. So it's cool that
what I like about this whole thing is when it comes down to the Marvel Universe, you know, everything is connected in some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what I like is that with Ms. Marvel, you know, we got how the new kid in school, his mom was obsessed with Kumail Nanjiani's character from Eternals, who's a
Marvel star. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what's great, and this is why I texted you the other day, was that the actress that plays her mom played his mom in The Big Sick.
You know, I forget about The Big Sick. I enjoyed the fuck out of that.
That was a great movie.
It was.
You know, it was based on his real life.
Yeah, because he was the one that wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, between him and his wife.
Yeah, because she got sick, and, you know, like that. It was this whole what happened with her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was going through a lot of shit back then.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so with that, the other thing with the MCU is that the Deadpool 3 writers recently teased that, like, he's sort of like a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm. It's true, though.
He is.
It's absolutely true, because how is he going to fit into this?
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to make it work? But I want to see it.
Like, truthfully, he should have cameoed in
Multiverse?
Yeah. And, you know, like, it was great seeing Bruce Campbell as the fucking pizza guy.
Uh-huh.
But imagine if that was Deadpool.
Not the pizza guy. He was the hot dog guy.
No, he was the pizza balls. Bruce Campbell.
Wasn't he a hot dog dude? Oh yeah, he was a pizza. Yeah, no, never mind.
So,
because you know why I said hot dog guy, because he's a vendor on the street.
Right.
That's why I said hot dog guy. Because I'm used to seeing hot dog people outside selling hot dogs, not pizza.
Right.
But I get it. It's a whole other universe.
For all we know, he's going to pop up in, like, the most random thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm down for it, dude.
I'm down for it.
But, yeah, it would have made sense to throw in Deadpool somewhere in there. But who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? Like, for all we know, he's going to pop up on... I mean, I'm not opposed to him popping up on, like, the next MCU series after this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I doubt it, but...
Or just about anything.
Yeah.
Like, he could fit into just about anything, especially since he is essentially breaking the fourth wall in just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just throw him just into anything and be like, oh yeah, look, he's here. Oh, he could be over there. Or he could be over here and this other thing. So there's so many possibilities. Just seeing him eventually possibly even pop up in fucking Love and Thunder. What does he have to do with anything? Right. Nothing.
Nothing.
But he's fucking Deadpool.
For all we know, he could be a tourist.
Yeah.
In New Asgard.
Yeah, exactly. Just walking around, seeing what the fuck is going on.
Well,
I want to see it.
Considering that they had that commercial with him and Korg.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, anything is fucking possible. I'm so down for it. I want to see what they're going to do with it. I want to see where they're going to go, especially for Phase 4. Because, of course, like we said, like there's a lot of shit that they could dive into. So many things that they can work into the future of the MCU. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be interesting. I'm down for it all.
I mean, you know, fucking... Blade, they said, starts shooting this summer.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Which is fucking dope. And also, like, what I was reading earlier is, like, Wesley Snipes is down for the, oh, this looks cool. It doesn't have to be R-rated. It does. That's what he said. It doesn't have to be R-rated.
Right.
Of course, the original ones were. Because yeah. Of course, there was a lot of blood and also a lot of sexy times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily need all that. Even though it's cool to have it, but it doesn't need it. But it'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with it. I really want to see this, especially since they've been teasing it for like 3 years already.
Yeah.
And we had a glimpse of it of Mahershala Ali in fucking
on the Eternals.
Yeah. At the end, very spoilers for the end of Eternals. He shows up. He doesn't even show up physically, but you hear him and you hear him talking about things. But it's pretty cool. I want to see where they're going to go with that. I want to see where Phase 4 goes and how it's going to work into the whole universe and how it makes sense and how they make it make sense. I want to see it. I want it now. I want it now. I need it. And then I guess we can go into the final piece for this week. Is that we've spoken plenty of times that they've been kind of talking about getting Wonder Man into the whole mix of things.
Yeah.
A character that is very beloved and very, very, very fucking cool. Something that they've kind of teased previously. And for a second, they had a poster of him in, I don't remember what movie it was, but I think it was some shit. But they were teasing Wonder Man in something, in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm blanking on what it was too.
Yeah, but it looks like it's actually happening. It's actually happening. They haven't said exactly for who's gonna be, but it is saying that Andrew Guest will serve as a head writer and executive producer for the MCU series that is being developed by Destin Daniel Cretton, that is being developed at Disney Plus.
And fans have been petitioning to get Nathan Fillion to play him.
Yes.
And I am like, please?
Yes, please. Nathan Fillion is fucking great.
I mean,
he's fucking
unfortunately,
great.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get him as Nathan Drake outside of the fan-made film that he made.
Fair, yes.
But, not saying Uncharted was bad. It was actually a fun movie. I recommend it.
As it should be.
Yeah. Like, once you got out of the whole, like, wait, but he's Spider-Man. Like, no. Mm-hmm. This is good.
Yeah.
But no, Nathan Fillion is the first thing I ever saw him in. So I didn't watch Firefly, but the first thing I ever saw him in was Buffy the Vampire Slayer toward the end of the series. We played the priest, and like I remember him like pushing his thumb into fucking Xander's eye.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Like, he was creepy as fuck then, but then like he later would be in a million other things that were fun, mm-hmm. You know, great. Yeah. And then
I loved him in Firefly. I also loved him in Repo, the opera, the rock opera.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, watch that. That shit is good.
I liked him as a head in fucking, what was the Drew Barrymore show with Timothy Oliphant?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what show you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm blanking
on it. It was a Netflix show.
Yeah, and it's a shame that show got canceled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what happened is that, what happened is that he left that series, and so it was actually his buddy filled in for him, fucking Alan Tudyk.
Two dicks.
Yeah, basically what they did was they, you know, after a while, like, the head started decaying, and so, like, they just covered him with a sheet, and it was him mm-hmm. replacing the character. Because Alan Tudyk is amazing.
Yeah, Tudyk is great.
Yeah. so, But no, with Nathan Fillion, like his characters are always good. He's always enjoyable to watch, and he's such a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves to finally be cast as something great. I mean, come on. Just his small part in fucking Suicide Squad.
Fucking fantastic, dude. Fucking fantastic.
With the detachable arms, like, doing the
bitch. Yeah. With TDK. It's fucking amazing.
But no, like, he looks like Wonder Man.
Yeah.
You know?
Why the fuck not put him into it?
Why the fuck not?
I want it. He was in the Venture Brothers. He's on the Santa Clarita Diet. That's the one that he was in with.
Well, that was a great fucking show.
With Drew Barrymore's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, like, yeah, cast him as Wonder Man.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the fact that we're living in a world, in a comic book world, where now we're getting live action characters that you wouldn't think to put onto screen.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have thought Moon Knight was going to get a show?
No.
Like, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, forget about S.H.I.E.L.D. That was its own thing. It was whatever. But
S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't that bad.
I watched it straight through. Like, I did. I watched it straight through. You know, after I fell off for a while, but due to other things, not because I gave up, but, like, I mm-hmm. ended up just going back and just going through, you know, the whole series.
It got way better after a while.
It did. So what happened is that we never thought we'd get a Daredevil show
mm-hmm.
that was as good as what it was. Especially because you had everything going on, because the whole, like, shitty Ben Affleck movie. And then I would have never thought we were going to get a Jessica Jones show, a Luke mm-hmm. Cage, an actual good Punisher, and then Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But, and even a Defenders thing. You know?
Defenders was good,
like,
yeah.
Defenders was great. But then, like, then you got things like Miss Marvel, who
yep.
this character's so fucking new, and yeah. she has this, like, and so you have all this, and then
a lot of lore into the whole Bengals,
mm-hmm.
and the whole, especially now that they're making it about the Bengals and not necessarily her being an Inhuman, because that's what her story was in the comics. She wasn't Inhuman. Or she became an Inhuman.
But then you have, you know, like I said, we have Moon Knight, which I never would have expected to get a Moon Knight show.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're getting this, now you're getting fucking, like, you're getting Wonder Man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, oh, who would have ever guessed that we would get something like an obscure character?
Yeah. Great. That's great. I love it. It is a great time to be a geek.
It is.
Absolutely. And I love it. Is. Cannot wait for more. I want it. I want it all. Give it to us all, damn it. Come on, Disney. Do your thing. Do your evil thing, Disney. You do the evil thing so good. But yeah.
Oh, the House of Mouse.
Oh, the House of Mouse. Yeah.
The true House of M.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the episode title. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, anything else you want to add to this?
Not as far as I know. We didn't... Well, I mean, we really didn't get into Kenobi.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
I mean... The most I'll say, check out the bonus round, you know, and, like, Kenobi is a series, I mean, I'm gonna spoil it because it was, like, a couple of days ago already.
It's been a week. Yeah. And he says, see, when this episode goes up, it's been a week.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that they just basically said fuck the original movies and then Obi-Wan killed Vader, that was amazing. no, but like, it was great. This was a perfect retcon to the prequels. It gave us all the parts of the movies that we really thoroughly enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even the person going, "I didn't like it," is like, "Yeah, you know, you did."
Yeah. There's still likability within the movies that weren't that great.
Exactly.
And what they did, they expanded upon the likabilities throughout this show.
I love that Obi-Wan started out wearing dark colors and ended wearing light colors.
Yep.
He was finally at his inner peace.
Yep.
The most heart-crushing moment of the finale, though, was after he fucked up Vader.
Yeah.
And, like, and I like that it's how he got that scar on his on his head.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's like, "I'm sorry for everything," and like he was fucking crying because that was his, you know, it was his brother.
That's his boy. That's his homie.
And the blending of the voices between Hayden and James Earl Jones, like just like with like the devices all fucked up, and it was great hearing the infamous asthma wheezing.
Yeah. Oh, the asthma wheezing was killing me, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
It's like it made you go like, but you're still Anakin.
I was like, you want my inhaler here? Take it.
I thought the Ian McDiarmid cameo was nice.
Yeah.
But then the best cameo, that being Ghost Qui-Gon.
Hell yeah, dude. Same. Which is something that we kind of touched on the bonus round,
and it's something that we wanted since 2005.
Absolutely.
Like, why is he not in this?
Yeah, you know? But also the thing is also like, we kind of know that something we spoke about in the bonus round as well is that like Obi-Wan was actually the reason that he wasn't able to see the Force Ghost was because he wasn't fully powerful, because in this show he's essentially regaining his powers all the way straight through until the very end. And once he's to that point at the very end, that's when he's able to see the Force Ghost.
And that's why in his fight against Vader in the episode 3, like, he was weak.
Yeah,
you know, and like, because the first time you had to fight somebody of that caliber in years, and now
in over 10 years,
and now with this, you know, he's stronger. He was able to, like, you know, use the Force and like take the rocks, and like, you see, he was like fully fucking you know. But Obi-Wan as a whole, it was really the chef's kiss to that to those
fucking prequels. Fantastic, dude.
It was great seeing Ewan McGregor back as Obi-Wan, and it was actually, I was really happy to see Hayden Christensen back.
Me too. Me too.
Like, it wasn't him; it was the writing, you know. Yeah. And like, what was it? It was on Screen Crush, I believe, with Ryan Airy. Like, he said it best. Like, No, it wasn't him. It was Eric Voss from New Rockstars, because I watched like both videos. And it was like the sole piece of like Hayden Christensen's best acting is when he's like, "Anakin is dead."
Yeah.
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 And I like how this is going to tie into the movies now with the, you know, with the Vader killed your father, the whole certain point of view thing. You know, a certain point of view, like, it makes that whole thing make more sense.
Yeah, it really does.
I gotta say, Minicube was great.
Minicube was a fucking man, dude.
And then
fucking love Minicube.
Kumail Nanjiani's character was great.
He was awesome.
You know, because he basically plays himself.
Yeah.
He's the comic relief you need in an uncomfortable situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really great, and I really hope that they do a second season, because it's, as I said to you, it's like, it's very rare when your two main actors want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because think about the rigorous training and shit they go through. But the fact that both Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor want to do another season, it's like, please listen to your stars and give us that.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for like three seasons like The Mandalorian, which is possibly getting a fourth season.
Of course. Like,
I'm asking for one more.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I want to see one more season, but I want to see more of Moses Ingram. She's fucking great.
Oh, Areva?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was fantastic. I love how her coming of age, like her transition into you know, I'm a
from the third sister to essentially becoming the Grand Inquisitor to essentially redeeming herself.
Yeah, by going like just all by seeing Luke knocked out in the fucking cat and like the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, oh yeah, the other thing that was really good too is like when Uncle Owen like got hurt and then was limping, and then mm-hmm. you see like in the movie he walks with a limp.
Yep.
I'm like, they tied everything in.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep.
You know, like, yeah. And of course the series ends with hello there.
Yeah. Yep. It's fantastic. One thing that I did notice, what that actually I noticed on screen, what Tree first noticed it as well, was that in every episode, it pretty much goes along with the prequels to the sequel to the originals.
Yes.
How the first one starts in Tatooine, the second one starts in, you know, in like a big city or whatever, then it goes into the dark place. Mm-hmm. And then
the third one was in Mustafar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. I fucking love how they did that.
And my last tie-in with this is that I really enjoyed that, like, when Obi-Wan is packing up his cave,
mm-hmm.
in the bag is the toy ship that Luke is playing with in episode 4.
Yeah.
So well
done. Really cool shit, dude.
Really fucking great. Like, this was an amazing series.
Absolutely.
And as we said for the beginning, right, we said this a couple of weeks, we said this 6 weeks ago, was that Kenobi, the first 5 minutes of Kenobi had that first season, first episode Mandalorian vibe.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, I'm in love with Star Wars again.
Yeah.
The only thing that this season of Kenobi was missing was the tag team of Filoni and Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
That was it.
But huge props to Deborah Cho, who directed these episodes.
Fantastic. Like, she didn't just give us an Obi-Wan Kenobi series. She gave us what the fans wanted from an Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Mm-hmm.
Every single episode, and you know, even if the episode was a little on the slower side, it had to be
to
tell that story.
Yeah, exactly.
And like,
was this the first Disney show that was directly by just one person?
I believe it was, yeah.
Because every other Disney show that's for Star Wars related has had multiple directors in every single mm-hmm. episode. But this was the first one that I've noticed that is only just one person directing the entire show.
The only other time this was done, at least in my opinion, was the director of Loki did every episode.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and unfortunately, she's not coming back for season 2. But
yeah,
I'm sure that whoever's taking it in her place will do it justice. But
right.
For Star Wars, yes, Deborah Cho direct every episode was all her. And she really gave us what we wanted.
Yeah, she did. She really did.
Like, when I watched it, I'm like, I'm good now. Like, thank you. But I still want more.
For sure, yeah. Give me more. Give me more. May I have some more, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely down for it, dude. Super excited. So, yeah, I guess that wraps it up for this week. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys go to InnerCityGeeks.net. We got a whole bunch of shit sometimes because we got this show. We got Suplex City Geeks. We also have Bryce J Presents and all the other shit that's over there. A lot of the old stuff as far as It's Poppin, Enter the Geeks Turntable, First Watch, Comic Schools of World, Manga Time, Anime World, Enter the Geeks Web Comic, as well as Good Games. So much shit is over there. Go check all that shit out. Then we also got links to some pretty cool ass places as far as, you know, if you want to watch some more wrestling stuff, go check out the link to Fight TV. You get to watch a lot of cool wrestling shits over there. We'll do that. And then there's also links to So Sick Clothing Company, where you get some pretty cool shirts, hats, and, you know, hoodies and stuff. Made by Geeks for Geeks. So type in the Inner City Geeks for 15% off your entire purchase. That's So Sick. It's SOESIC clothing.co. Check all that out over there. Again, it's Inner City Geeks for 15% off. Then we have Beard Octane for your beardly goodness. Of course, you know, we have our beards here. We enjoy having our beards and making them look nice all the time. So, so you get some beard oils, balms, butters. And if you really need a little bit of a trim in your beard, like I kind of need a little trim this weekend, I'm going to be doing that. They got a lot of tools there for you. So type in ICG10 for 10% off over there at Beard Octane. And like I said, get 10% off. Go do that. Then we got links to Amazon where you get your first month free of Amazon Prime. Go do that shit now. Get your first, watch the first few episodes of The Boys. Because that shit is fucking great. Watch that. Then, or you can just get Amazon Prime for free. You'll get your first month free of Amazon Prime. Because, of course, you know, you wanna buy stuff for cheap and stuff. Get it shipped to your house for free. Because we all hate fucking paying shipping, you know, a lot of places. So, if you get it for free, why the fuck not? Especially now that I believe in the next couple weeks we're going to have Prime Week. I think it is. That's in the next couple weeks. Do that shit. Get some cool shit on Amazon Prime. It's going to have a lot of deals and stuff over there. Check that out. Then CBDMD for sure. CBD good stuff over there. I think that's pretty much it for all the links and for all the cool places. Oh, Sideshow Collectibles. Because toys are awesome. Check out Sideshow Collectibles. There's a lot of cool shit over there. Go do that. It's over there, too. It's fucking great. Go check out Sideshow Collectibles. They got a lot of cool shit over there. There's a lot of cool Star Wars stuff. Do that. And then you can listen to this show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. Check us out over there. Then you could find this show on the socials. You can find us on the Facey Space on faceyspace.com/InnerCityGeeks, on Twitter at InnerCityGeeks, on Instagram at InnerCityGeeks. And where can we find you, Senor Brian?
You could find me getting ready to go watch The Boys.
Yeah.
And make some lunch or dinner. But no, you can check me out on all the social media stuff. Check out Bright2J Presents on Twitter and Instagram. Check out Bright2JPresents.com for more. All my videos are up there, blogs and whatnot. A link to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then also check out the YouTube channel, Bright2J Presents. Videos will be coming back as soon as I can. I got a bunch of stuff from Diamond Select I got to review.
Yeah.
And that actually came to me like within 2 days of me living here, so like I'm bringing like all boxes upstairs,
of course,
all like all the orders, and it's like, oh, and here's Diamond. So thank you, Diamond. I will get to you guys as soon as I can. They already know the deal. So yeah, cool stuff coming. And where can I find you?
You guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Let us know what you think about the show, dude. You guys, you know, we know you're there. Just let us know what you're thinking, how you feel about what we say and stuff on the show. Because, of course, we say a lot of shit all the time. So let us know what you think. So, yeah, we'd appreciate that. We appreciate you. Like I said, it's been great. We're just about to hit 300. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Thank you guys for listening again. I said that like 18 times already today. But, because it's true. I appreciate you guys. Showing my gratitude towards you guys. Don't be a dick, but always remember, the geeks shall inherit the earth.